looking forward to the Italian weekend. Yeah, sounds really good. My 3.5-year-old grandson has difficulty saying the letter L, which is rather unfortunate when his name is Levi. He calls himself Yevi. However, despite this little challenge, he often comes out with some precious gems, one of which occurred a couple of weeks ago while we were picnicking on the park. It was a chilly but sunny day as we sat on the cold park bench eating our cheese and Spam sandwiches. Yes, Spam. It's exciting, isn't it? I say, what do you want on your sandwiches, Spam? When Levi looked up at me with a tomato sauce smile on his face and said, Nana, God made you, didn't he? I answered, yes, he did, Levi. God made me. He created your Nana. And then Levi continued, and God made Yevi and Ezekiel, that's his older brother, to love you, didn't he, Nana? Well, that beautiful little comment full of wisdom and truth made the oxytocin levels in my brain explode. I thought, I don't want to ever forget this snippet of wisdom, so I wrote it down. My grandson believes God made him for the purpose of loving me or loving me. I like that, and I certainly felt the love that day. In the book, The Effective Father, Gordon MacDonald writes, it is said of Boswell, the famous biographer of Samuel Johnson, who was an English writer in the 18th century, that he often referred to a special day on his childhood when his father took him fishing. The day was fixed in his mind, and he often reflected upon many things his father had taught him in the course of their fishing experience together. After having heard of that particular excursion so often, it occurred to someone much later to check the journal that Boswell's father kept to determine what had been said about the fishing trip from the parental perspective. Turning to that date, the reader found only one sentence entered. Gone fishing today with my son. A day wasted. It's interesting, isn't it? The truth is, little things to adults are many times big things to children. We don't always understand or comprehend the impact our actions have on children. I get amazed at the events my now adult children remember as being significant, and yet to me, often the events don't hold the same degree of importance. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to see life from your perspective. For you are the God who knows all things. We value your knowledge and your wisdom, and I pray that that is exactly what we will hear during this sermon. Your knowledge and your wisdom. Amen. A favourite children's nursery rhyme is the favourite tale of an egg that takes an unfortunate fall. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great... All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. According to those who know about such things, this piece of wisdom is a relic thousands of years old. Apparently, versions of this old nursery rhyme have appeared in at least 8 European languages. In its primitive stage, however, Humpty Dumpty was a riddle. It asked the question, what, when broken, can never be repaired, not even by strong individuals? As any child knows, an egg, regardless of how hard we try, a broken egg can never be put back together again. I've tried it with Easter eggs. They just can't. We simply have to learn to live with the mess. Children are very much like little eggs. They are fragile, they are vulnerable, and they need lots of warmth and protection from harsh environments and predators. Even the mother's womb is not the safest place for children anymore. In 2005, the Department of Health and Aging estimated that there were approximately 83,000 abortions in Australia each year. This number equates to almost one abortion for every 2.8 births a year. That's a pretty scary statistic if you're an unborn child, isn't it? Today, we're going to, in a little while, witness the beautiful baby blessing of my granddaughter, Macy. And I want to take this opportunity with this sermon to encourage everyone, not just, yes, it's about you, Macy. It is all about you. But I want to take this opportunity with this sermon to encourage everyone, not just the parents in this room, but everyone, because if we are all Christians, then we are all in the family of God and we are all responsible for the care of each other. So I want to encourage everyone here today with this sermon to value children. That's Macy. For if you value something, you will guard and protect it, won't you? What you value, you guard and protect. My motivation for this sermon comes straight from Scripture, from the very words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, in his teaching, leaves an amazing example for us all to follow. But before we turn to the Scripture, let me just state that the way of this world, which is in the grip of the evil one, is geared to destroy the innocent. The powers of darkness hate God's beautiful creation. The devil hates innocence and the newness of birth because it represents everything that he isn't and everything that he desires to destroy. He takes advantage of the weak and helpless. How do I know this? Because the devil inspired three evil rulers in the Bible. Firstly, Pharaoh in the book of Exodus, Queen Athalia, who we heard about last week in 2 Kings, and King Herod in the book of Matthew. He inspired these evil rulers to order the slaughter of innocent children. These satanically inspired atrocities were aimed at the extinction of the Messianic line. Satan's tactics haven't changed. He's still out to destroy the innocent. Just take a look at the drug scene and then tell me that our young are not being exploited. Take a look at what's going down on social media and tell me our young are not being exploited. The way of this world destroys innocence, but we, as a true church of Jesus Christ, have a totally different outlook. Turn with me to Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. This is the New International Version. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and don't hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. Parents brought their little children to be blessed by this amazing teacher who had been observed over and over again to have the power to bless and heal. Why wouldn't you? People are still doing it today. And that's what this baby blessing is all about. We want the great teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bless little Macy, don't we? So the crowds were pressing in, imploring Jesus to touch and bless their babies. The disciples saw this as an intrusion and an irritation and responded by rebuking the parents. "Can't you see the man's busy? He has so much to do. Go get your local rabbi and get them to pray for your kids. Leave Jesus alone for the more important things." But as soon as Jesus heard and saw what was going on, he intervened. And this is one of the very few occasions where Mark records that Jesus was actually indignant. He was angry with the attitudes of his disciples. And it was the disciples who were about to receive his discipline, not the children or their annoying parents. The truth is, the disciples still hadn't caught the essence of who Jesus was. They hadn't yet absorbed his revolutionary scale of values. And so he used this occasion to teach them all two important kingdom truths. How many? That's not many points in a sermon, is it, people? Two. These truths are still extremely important for us 2,000 years later. So listen up, people. First, Jesus said to his disciples, the men who would one day be responsible for the propagation of the gospel to the whole world, he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." The action of the disciples in turning the children away was actually an abuse of their God-given authority, because their perception of Jesus was totally wrong. They weren't yet understanding what he came to do and what he was all about. No minister of God, no born-again Christian for that matter, should ever get in the way of a child coming to God. And we all know there are varying degrees of getting in the way or hindering them. In another part of Scripture, Jesus actually addresses the penalty to be paid for those who hinder by causing the innocent to stumble. He said, "It will be better for you to have a huge millstone tied around your neck and to be thrown into the sea rather than causing a child to stumble." That's pretty serious, isn't it? Throughout the history of the church, there have been a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing, pretending to be ministers of God, but they're not. They haven't represented Jesus at all. They've abused their undeserved position of spiritual authority and have despicably blocked children's view from seeing and experiencing the true love of Jesus. It's appalling, and God sees it as such. But rest assured, God himself will stand as the perfect lawyer, jury, and judge one day with all knowledge and truth, and he will deal with the destroyers of innocence. He will. Those who have not been dealt with it on earth will be dealt with it in heaven. "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." Let them come. Don't patronizingly look down your nose at them as if they don't deserve it or wouldn't understand. If they want to come, let them come. If they want to learn, let them learn. If they want to pray, let them pray. If they want to sing, let them sing. If they want to worship, let them worship. If they want to read their Bible, let them read their Bible. My grandsons call their little tablets Bibles because the Bible's on their tablet. They also have other games on the tablets, but they have the Bible and they love it. If your kids want to talk about Jesus, let them. Do not hinder them. Rather, encourage them. That is why City View Church has special ministry tailored for the children, because Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." That is why City View Church has a child protection policy, because Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them." With these words, Jesus impresses upon us the importance of reaching children whose minds are most receptive to the Word of God. Children's minds aren't as junky as adults' minds. They don't have a lot of worldly preconceived ideas to deal with before they can open their hearts to the knowledge of God. We need to tailor ministry for their level of understanding and give them every opportunity to confess their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I was so glad that in 1969, that's a long time ago, isn't it? In an old scout hall that was used for a church in Cloverdale, I, at the age of 6, accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. And the guest preacher that night took my salvation very seriously. He called me out to the front of the church and he put his hand on my head and prayed for me. And boy, did I get a zap as a kid. And then a lady took me and my older brother David to another room and went through the sinner's prayer with us. That night, the light went on for me. I was saved and I knew it. I knew up to that time I'd been thinking I was going to go to heaven on my parents' ticket, but when I was 6, I realized I was a sinner and I had to make that decision for myself. I was truly born again. And you know what? That saved me a lot of hassles throughout the years. I didn't have to learn life by doing bad things. I learned life by reading the Word of God. That's what we want for all our children. We don't want them to experience evil. We don't want them to do bad things in order to behave correctly. I want them to learn from the Bible, to do it God's way. I was truly born again at 6, and it was because the Christians in the Cloverdale AOG Church let me come to Jesus. They didn't hinder me, even though I was only 6. You know, there was other people that came out that night, and I was just as important as some of the adults that had come out. Just as important. Those Christians, they pointed the way and made it easy for me to come to Jesus. And that is exactly what we must do as mature believers of the cross. Point the way to the children. Point the way, not just in words, but our actions and our deeds. You will be surprised by how much children remember. One day, those little kids who now run around and annoy you will be adults, and they will remember the things that had affected them the most, both good and bad. My kids, who are now all adults, will every now and then reminisce with me, and they will recall and give an account of the behaviour of various babysitters, most of who were very nice, but there are at least 2 who my adult children can remember as being very unfair and mean the minute I used to leave the house. How about that? I actually feel a little embarrassed for these people because they have left unpleasant memories for my children to recall for the rest of their lives. We don't want to leave bad imprints on our younger Christian generation, do we, people? We want them to remember us as vibrant, encouraging, love-filled Christians who were sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived what they preach. We want to show our children how to be people of integrity. That's a really good word. It's getting really old-fashioned out there. Integrity, what's that? That's what we should be, people of integrity. When I was 7, my dad and mum visited a lovely old lady in a nursing home. She would have been in her late 90s, so she would have been born around 1880. This lady loved the Lord, and she was so excited to share Jesus with me as a young child. She gave me a little book to read and talked Jesus. But it was her loving Christian character which impressed me the most. I remembered that. That's what I want to be like for Jesus when I get old. Someone like Norma, who has a twinkle in her eye and shines Jesus to all, both young and old. Who would like to be old, like old Norma? I would. She's beautiful. Remember the very old Simeon and Anna in the New Testament? Who can remember that story of Simeon and Anna, who were ecstatic to hold the baby Jesus in the temple? They'd been waiting for the birth of Jesus all their lives, and finally he'd come. They knew exactly who it was they held. It was Jesus, the Savior of the world, and they had the God-given opportunity to hold him close and prophesy over him, I think in the book of Luke. I can imagine Mary and Joseph having to peel their grip of the baby Jesus on that precious day at the temple. Wouldn't you just want to keep holding baby Jesus? You would, wouldn't you? I mean, Mark was holding my little girl, and I said to him, I was thinking, you haven't got her for long. She's mine afterwards. That's how Simeon and Anna were. They wouldn't have wanted to let go of Jesus. In the same way, we should value every child who comes within our influence as if we're caring for the little baby Jesus. Every child. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 25, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did for me. Jesus is saying, if you are kind to a child, then as far as he's concerned, you're being kind to him. You want to show your love for God? Well, look after his children and love all of them. Some of you may think that other matters are more important than the spiritual welfare of children, but they're not. Jesus valued every child, and so must we. And that's why churches should be the safest places in the world, a safe, happy environment for children to grow up in and develop in the things of the Lord. This has to be the safest place, the one that leaves the best memories. And finally, the second truth we learn from this story in Mark 10, verse 13 to 16 is, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Pretty strong sentence. Anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. I have a question, a stupid question. Would an earthly mother ever give birth to an adult? No, of course not. What a ridiculous question. We're not born an adult. We're born as a baby child with all the innocence, vulnerability, and humility that comes along with it. The birth of a baby is a new beginning with innocence and humility. A baby, a child, is at the bottom of the pecking order, subject to grown-up authority, dependent and powerless. This is a baby newly born. In the same way, this is how we are spiritually born again. We enter his kingdom as his newly born children. This is why Jesus calls it being born again. We're not born into his kingdom with our personal rights, our demands, our way of doing things, with our personal list of values and wants, with our history of sin and shame. No, 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 no. We must leave our worldly preconceived ideas and thinking at the foot of the cross. Dying to self, we take on the Spirit of Christ. And we learn his way is the best way, the way of our new heavenly Father. It becomes our way. We drink, we feed from him. Only those who receive the gospel with the simplicity and trust of children can enter his kingdom. If being simple in faith means seeing Jesus, we all want to be simple, don't we? I want to be his child. Lord, help everyone to deal with their personal pride if this is what stops us from being your children, which it is. We must humble ourselves before him. Keep your faith simple before the Lord. Simply believe as a child on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Amen. And finally, Jesus took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. And we're now going to do exactly this with baby Macy. Dad, would you please come out?